Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, I'm Jake Brennan, and I want to tell you about Disgraceland, the award-winning music and true crime podcast that I host. Disgraceland tells the stories of musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. Fleetwood Mac, Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Ozzy Osbourne, Taylor Swift, Tupac, The Beatles, Amy Winehouse, Jay-Z, The Grateful Dead, and so many more. This is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives of musical icons as seen through the crimes they've committed or that have been perpetrated against them. Did Jerry Lee Lewis murder his fifth wife? What really happened to Sam Cooke in that seedy motel at 3 a.m.? And how did the Rolling Stones wind up sleeping with the First Lady? Wait, what? New episodes of Disgraceland drop every Tuesday with bonus episodes released on Mondays and Thursdays. So get in, buckle up, and join me in Disgraceland. Available right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Rock and roll.
No, we weren't there together. I think that I was listening to my part and I was like trying to remember it. How I made it, how we made it. I think it was just, it came from some improvisational sessions that Jackknife and I were doing. So like, I was just getting to know him and he's like, come on up to my studio. And we were just kind of jamming and making stuff.
Hi, this is Lowell Tolhurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Budgie, co-founder of The Creatures, drummer with The Slits, and Susie and the Banshees.
Welcome to Curious Creatures.
Life after punk.
You may think you know the territory, but we drew the map.
Monsieur Le Budgie, that's me, would like to say, lol, please play as your little snaky tongue thing. It gives me great pleasure, of course, always, but especially with a guest who is, we've worked together, but we've never met, so we're meeting for the first time. Please welcome podcast, Curious Creatures podcast, welcome please to Mary Lattimore.
Hello. Hi.
Mary, good evening.
Yeah.
Or good morning.
Good afternoon.
Sorry, that must have been the longest intro I have ever done.
It was. It's good. It's good. Mary and I were just discussing all those things, how we've never met half the people on our new album. But Mary has met Lonnie recently.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I met Lonnie a couple years ago, actually, through Matt Arnett, who you guys both know probably. Do you know Matt?
No,
I don't know Matt.
He's Lonnie's manager.
Oh, we don't talk to the managers. We just go direct to the source. And if we can't get direct to the source, we get somebody else to talk to the managers.
Yeah, fair enough. Matt is a really cool guy from Atlanta, where Lonnie lives, and they are very, very close friends. And Matt's father was an art collector who kind of represented Lonnie when he was alive and kind of boosted Lonnie's visual art career. And then he and Matt are very, very close friends. And so Matt got in contact with me about playing with Lonnie, playing a show with him in Atlanta. And then we've just become great friends. And I've played a couple times with Lonnie in person. But this most recent time, I guess it was like 2 weeks ago, I was in Italy and I stopped in this really interesting town called Castelfidardo, which is where they make accordions, and they have a accordion museum there. And there's a little old man who he made the world's largest accordion according to the Guinness Book of World Records. It's a hydraulic accordion where he's probably like 80 years old. He stands on these steps and he presses the buttons. The hydraulics move the accordion in and out, and then the person who he's showing it to plays the keys. So it's a massive accordion. Anyway, I posted this on my Instagram account, and Matt Arnett was like, "Are you in Italy too? Lonnie and I are here in Spoleto. You should come and sit in with him. He's going to be playing a show and doing an art residency." And so, you know, it was just fate. My friends.
Whereabouts in Italy, Mary?
It was Spoleto. It was in Umbria.
Okay.
Umbria. I need a little more help. Umbria. I know Umbria, but where?
Well,
are we?
Spoleto. Umbria. It's in the middle of Umbria. What's it close to?
See, people are going to write in now and go, "But Budgie's geography is useless. He should know where Umbria is."
Maybe it's near Assisi.
St. Francis of, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you kind of know where it is.
So Lonnie and his manager just happened to be there and said,
"Yeah,
come along." So how far away were you?
Yeah, we were 2 hours away. So we just decided to say yes, and I played a beautiful show with him. And I don't know, it was pretty improvised, and I don't know, he's such a deep guy to play with. And I think I re-listened to the song that we were all on together. I re-listened to it this morning, and I was like, "Oh yeah, man, it really captures his." I feel like I want to know about how he was directed to sing and stuff. But you guys weren't there for it.
We were not there.
It was Jackknife that was working with one.
Jackknife was there, and he said that he doesn't really direct him. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just, it was real soulful. It was like from the heart.
So let's like break the track down a bit. So Mary, when you played your parts,
yeah,
you hadn't met Lonnie then, or you hadn't met him in the studio.
I had.
Were you there together?
No, we weren't there together. I think that I was listening to my part and I was like trying to remember it, how we made it. I think it was just, it came from some improvisational sessions that Jackknife and I were
there
doing.
There you go.
So like I was just getting to know him, and he's like, "Come on up to my studio." And we were just kind of jamming and making stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like that came from one of those days where we were just kind of like in it, you know.
That was our whole experience in the studio with Jack. Me and Budgie, we just went out for about 3 weeks.
You see, this is going to be the other thing. We have to ask our guests how we did our album, because it was such a kind of, it was like, I don't know, like it's kind of mushrooms appearing in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And going like,
I love that.
What's going on over there? Uh-huh. Sniffing around like a pig, you know, like truffle snorting. But the beautiful thing about it is, and I don't know if you found it, but listening back to the track this morning, how did it feel? Just tell me, I'm not going to want to like put words in. Just what was it like listening back to the track? Maybe after a long time of not having heard it, or maybe never having heard it.
I mean, I was immediately like struck by Lonnie, you know, having just played with him. I feel like there's a special kind of force that he has on this song, as opposed to like sitting with him and his keyboard, and it feels like a different vibe than in this track, you know. But I was listening to it more surgically this morning. I wasn't listening to it as a listener who was like feeling the emotion of the song as much as I was like, "Oh yeah, my part," you know, kind of listening to it a little bit narcissistically, where I was like, "Oh yeah, I did that with that," you know? So maybe it's a weird answer.
It's all relevant though, isn't it? No, it's not at all. I also know that Jackknife had a lot to work with from Lonnie, and so as he always does, he's like cut and paste guy.
Yeah,
you know, he structured a lot of stuff and moved it around to kind of start to put emphasis here and logic somewhere there, you know.
Yeah.
That Lonnie wouldn't have recreated that performance, and we probably never will get him to recreate that performance.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I like the most about Lonnie is that he makes up words, mm-hmm. right? I've noticed. Like there's a brilliant part. It just comes into where you know, your section comes in and he starts saying a couple of things. And for a while, I wasn't quite sure what he was saying, but I realized he's put castrated and incarcerated together in one word. So it's incarcerated.
Oh, amazing.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's great. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's, you know, evocative.
That kind of analytical thing. Recently, we were putting the artwork together for the album, and we were considering putting on the lyrics to the album. So somebody was like transcribing all of James Murphy and Bobby Gillespie's words, and having to get the head around Lonnie's made-up words.
Yeah.
And there's also a lovely bit where he goes, dip, 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 dip. And I think they did a kind of a blip, 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 and a jip, jip, jip. And it was all kind of, and we just said, you know what? Maybe we should just take a line from it, you know, that's relevant, or maybe none at all. So we played around with, and I started to look at the words and listen to the ferocity that he and just brought to the different ways of bodies and where he was going with the intention of those words, and then the breakdown, and into the section where you pick up, and it's like there's a few times on the album where we start in one place, and then the journey begins, and it feels like. Really does feel like a landscape open up, the sun rises and in you come.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Mary, you're sort of floating on from the sand dunes or something. And Lonnie goes with you. He's there with you, just going, right in that. And I think it's uncanny, but I don't believe, I believe, and I've had this experience before when we've done. If you like, I know I've done drum tracks, and then in The Creatures where Susie then did the vocal, she was there when we did the drums but didn't sing, and then she put the vocals later, and it was like the vocals led the drums, you know, and it's like the harp set the mood for the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that when you played live with Lonnie, there's a certain feeling he gives, a power, there's an aura or something. I feel it in his performance. I've got one more thing about Lonnie that before we move back into Mary land properly. Jackknife was doing some other stuff with Lonnie, and he's working on like. Another project. He's always working on another project, and he sent me through some tracks to Berlin, and he asked me to put drums on. I think he asked me to put drums on one thing, and I totally misread the email. And I sat down in my studio, and I was just playing, and these words came up, and so I just started playing. And as I was playing, I was thinking, "Oh my God! Every time I land, the vocal lands where I'm." Putting the weight, and I hadn't rehearsed it, and I was just kind of going with it, and I just stopped thinking about it because then when I'd stopped, and it was about 8 minutes or something, I listened back and thought, it's like as if we were playing together, and I can almost say there was no pulse in what he was, how he was seen to be. There was no obvious beat, but I found one, and it could have been, maybe there are several possibilities, but it was as close I got to playing with somebody without ever meeting them, you know.
I think you were connected on the quantum field. That's what it is, you know. It's like, yeah.
Magic.
Well, it can permeate. It can get underneath Berlin cobblestones, down into the basement depths of the Innenhof.
Okay.
On, you know, but it was that, and I thought, well, that's it. I did attempt to kind of think, oh, maybe it could be a little kind of tighter, or maybe I could have played that. Maybe the miking wasn't good. I had one mic up, I think. I just stopped in the session, and I just had to leave it because it was just one of those moments.
Mm-hmm. Jackknife is, he likes mistakes. Whenever you do something and you think it's a mistake, that's the bit he likes. That's the bit he wants to keep. A lot of mistakes all the time, you know, because that's my excuse anyway.
So, Mary, do you welcome mistakes into your playing? No, let me rephrase that. Do you welcome the unexpected?
Yes, I insist on the unexpected a little bit. I mean, I feel like when I'm recording something and I make a little flub or something, that usually does end up being the best part of the song, you know?
Yeah.
But I think my live performance is a lot of looping. And so it's kind of structured improvisation where it's like, you know, I have the bones of the song, but then there's room for improvisation or whatever. But when I make a mistake in the loop, or like some weird note gets caught in the loop, or even like if I have a string break and it gets caught, the sound gets caught in the loop, something weird happens, then I welcome the challenge to kind of get out of that problem or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? Feeding new information into the loops, watching it morph in front of me, you know, in a live setting, I feel like is super thrilling, and I'm a little bit addicted to it.
I was curious, and I really, I must stop saying curious. It sounds like I'm trying to plug my own things.
Well, it's part of the show.
The looping thing. It's lovely to hear what you do is you get the looping to adding to the improvisation. Whereas to the uninitiated, in many ways, including myself, hearing the loop that doesn't quite sound correct, or maybe it's not perfectly in time, and I imagine that there are as many softwares now to help with that, as if it's like going to be better to kind of make it smoother, and you are embracing the, if you like, the serendipity of it all, where it just, okay, I have to work with this now. And that's kind of where technology can provide us with, as you said, the challenge. Does it ever get to the point where you would just have to go, excuse me, I just have to stop?
I don't.
Or do you ever?
No. I would say, I'll tell you when I have to stop, is if the harp has feedback in the monitor or in the house or something, and the feedback gets caught in the loop. And so every cycle you hear like a whoa on one certain note, and then it drives me absolutely insane. So like the wall keeps getting bigger each time. It's like a toxic flower that's blooming. It's just like you anticipate it, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it takes over the entire melody and everything. And so that's when I have to stop. Either I stop, or I don't know, I subtly stop. I don't say, sorry, you guys, I have to stop. But I do like turn down the loop, subtly try to play over it a little. You know, there's ways I can get myself out of that situation too. But that's like, that's my nightmare.
That's kind of like, I think that's when the audience is really alert. I think when you suddenly go, okay, let's just stop, look around. If there's a band there, it happens with a band, just go, sorry guys, just got to stop, because this is like, I have no idea where I am. This is just driving me crazy. And the audience goes, it's live, it's real, it's happening.
Yeah, that's true. Have you had to do that?
Yeah, I think it's like just allowing them a glimpse into it. Somehow we're all in the same space and the room takes over, or something takes over, and you go, nope, we have to reclaim this. I love those moments. Then they're magic moments.
How did you guys meet Jackknife? Like, have you guys been friends for a long time?
I was introduced to him by LOL. There's a kind of a friend of a friend connection. But right at the start of the album project, so we'd kind of done some recording. We'd been to other studios whilst I was in LA for a couple of weeks, and we got on. We had a few ideas that were coming together, but it wasn't sounding. We were not pleased. We're not like kind of crazy about it, and so we sort of put everything on hold. And LOL started asking around, see if anybody, and we came across Jackknife, and never heard of him. I mean, sorry, Jackknife. It's not unusual. You don't always hear unless you hear or know. And LOL told me, I said, go and check out this guy. You know, so I clocked onto his website. And it was just a studio, I think empty, with the sound of a drum kit. It was a ride cymbal and a beat. And it was so pure and beautiful. I just thought, oh, right, this is obviously the guy for us. LOL, you have, I think, more of a kind of one-to-one introduction meeting with Jackknife and his clan.
Well, I had met Jackknife up in Topanga Canyon at some old hippie festival with... John Densmore.
Don't say old hippie festival.
It was literally an old hippie festival with John Densmore and Willie Nelson's sons, you know, playing.
Wow.
And like, you know, I'm not really a country fan, but I saw them play and I thought, wow, that's sort of like punk, you know, it's like punk country. And I didn't know who they were. And they were great. Anyway, so I was talking to Jackknife that whole time. And I said, you know, we've made a record, me and, you know, Buttery and stuff, but we're not really sure about it. And we've done some things.
But how did you meet him, Locke? Did you know him before then through...
No, I met him because I knew his wife knew a friend of ours, Michelle. So that's how.
Okay.
Mutual friends. It was mutual friends. I get it. Yeah.
And at that time, you know, like the kids all went to the same school. You know, so that's how everybody knows. Yeah.
I thought that Jackknife was going to be wearing like a plaid shirt with a big beard and like overweight, you know, kind of big, scary bear from Topanga Canyon who only works with like, you know, pure sort of. Because of the drum kit thing, I thought, he knows how to mic a drum kit. That's unusual. Mm-hmm. But when we got there, of course, I mean...
You thought he'd look like Rick Rubin, then, in other words. You thought that's him.
Like a lumberjack.
I was imagining Rick Rubin. And it couldn't be more different. In every way than I just described, it couldn't be more different. Of course, Mary, you've met him now.
Yep.
And then when I did meet him, his hair was pink. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And it was just before lockdown, just before COVID shut LAX for you know. So I'm coming back to LA as soon as I leave here.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks' time from when we're doing this recording.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be my first time back to see everybody and my first time meeting some of the people who've been working on this podcast with for the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so many crazy things happening, but it's one of those moments when you realize without having to say anything that you feel the chemistry is right. You just, without having to talk about music, you're making music already.
Accident after accident. Congested highways. Everybody's slowing down to see who just got killed.
Curious Creatures is created and presented by LOL Tolhurst and Budgie.
Producer, Joe Wong.
Producer and audio designer, Dan Didier.
Executive producer, Mark Cates.
Associate producer, Sophie Wild.
Digital marketing, Margie Taylor.
Art and logo design, Justin Thomas Kay.
Music production, Jackknife Lee.
Assistant editor, Ben Miller. Curious Creatures is on the web, and you can access us at www.curiouscreaturespodcast.com.
And you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at Curious Creatures Official, Twitter at Cure Creatures.
To find more of the best music podcasts, visit doubleelvis.com or follow at doubleelvis on Instagram or at doubleelvis on Twitter.
Curious Creatures is a production of LXB LLC 2023.